So we're back with another episode with a guest. And as you know, the way we roll is the guest introduces himself. So go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Mashi. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Carrie Davis. I am a partner in a company called Elmington Property Management, which is based in Nashville, that I ran as the president of that now 35,000 unit property management company for about 5 years. And I am also the co-founder and CEO of Fortress PropTech, which is a core property management solution that we built while I was running the Elmington Property Management Company in order to help us really streamline our business.
So this is a trend that I'm seeing, that where owner-operators are creating their own technology. And I'm guessing it wasn't driven because, so you just said to streamline, so it was more driven to solve your own problems versus, hey, let's get into the tech business.
Yes, I have a feeling there are very few property management companies that really want to get into the tech business, especially when you're talking about building a core solution, which is no small lift. But yeah, I mean, we were wanting to scale, and we did. Over the course of 7 years, we grew from 5,000 units to 35,000. And doing that with a core software ecosystem that doesn't work well for you or that doesn't help you scale is a huge reason for a company to try to build their own solution.
Yeah, so I'm a little weird, and I like to try to figure things out. And one of the things that I came up with is, so if you look at the NMHC, there's a top 50 of management companies and the number of units that they manage. And if you total that number, it's somewhere between like 4 million and 5 million total units managed. And let's say there's 20 to 22 million total units of apartments, you know, class A, B, C, 100 units or more. I'm ballparking some numbers here, but that says that the majority of the market is not one of these huge companies. And, you know, I work for a smaller company and I love it. So much has changed in the last 4 years. You know, we have a value of continuous improvement, and we're always trying to improve and grow. And so much has changed in terms of our system and our operation and our strategy and how we do things. And, you know, we keep getting better from it. So there's a lot in the marketplace where of people who are owning, managing, you know, somewhere between 1500 and I would say 15,000 units. So they're below the radar, but a lot of those companies are still figuring things out and growing. And so one, there's a lot that you don't know what you don't know. And I think that obviously, you know, property management softwares are not helping companies understand how to operate their communities better. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, I like to think of a Peloton. Peloton, what's the difference between Peloton and a regular bike is they teach you and tell you how to get the most out of the bike. And so I think, I don't know if this is the trend, like the direction you're going in, and I'm not trying to talk about your company so much, more of a problem that people, there's a lot of problems that operators have that they don't realize.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we are starting to realize these things as property management companies become more sophisticated, but we're doing it from the outside in. So there are so many very specific point solutions or ancillary services out there today that try to do exactly what you're talking about. They try to provide a very specific solution in a very structured and process-driven way. But we're struggling really heavily with adoption in those platforms and in those products that I think a lot of people today would say that those things should actually be a part of your core system, whether it's the CRM that helps you communicate with your residents, or whether it's the maintenance app that allows you to manage centralized mobile work orders. I think when we really sat down and looked at what we needed to become a more efficient and structured and informed property management company, we realized that we needed those solutions in the core system, and we needed to be able to proactively problem solve for our assets, for our users, for our employees, and just create a better experience with more clarity of information and an easier user interface.
So problem solving is a skill. And, you know, some people are good at it, some companies are good at it. How do you approach problem solving? And is that something you enjoy? Are you good at it? And if so, what makes you good at it?
Yeah, so I, by education and some experience, I am an accountant and an attorney. So my husband would tell you I'm never the life of the party, but I am a diehard problem solver. It's who I've always been. And that can be great and on one hand, and the other hand, it's kind of like I'm a dog with a bone and I can't stop until I've figured out how to solve that problem. But we just took it down to, well, first, and this is one thing that I would always recommend to anyone who is trying to solve a problem, especially a property management company, is that do your research and identify what your problem really is, and then do your research on how you solve it and what really solves that problem for you. Because it might be that there is a point solution or an ancillary service that completely solves your problem and you're not worried about adoption or complete integration or anything like that. And then after you've identified your problem and you have done your research, then try a few things out. A lot of the smaller point solutions will allow you to beta. You could roll out some things like Power BI really easily in your office before you commit to like the full scope of managing a platform like that. And then once you've tried it, figure out what your best approach is and how large your problem is and how large the solution needs to be to your problem.
Yes, I think that you just said something, or maybe it's just what I heard, but there's a lot of folks who do something and they actually don't know how they do it or what makes them good at it. Like, the market has been really great. So if you're doing well in multifamily the last 8 years, if you're not doing well, that there's a big, really, really big red flag. So when the times are good and you're winning, that's not such a big deal. It's knowing what makes you good and winning when things are not great. And so I think that, hopefully things do get better, but it seems like things are heading in the wrong direction as in the country, the economy, the industry. And I think that it's going to really highlight who knows what they're good at and who's good at it and who's not. And so I think that, yeah, you just talked that, I mean, that, I don't know if that's what you were trying to say, but that's what I heard, where it's not just, being good at something, but knowing what you're good at it. And then, when something's wrong, how do you actually fix it? Because, the market could correct itself. Your occupancy could go down and you just, all of a sudden there's a few people who move in and, or more people renew, whatever it might be. There's no real explanation, or maybe there really is an explanation, but if you don't dive in and have an understanding of what is really happening and what's driving rents, what's driving occupancy, or what's driving the opposite, what's driving your problems, you won't be able to solve them. So in order to really understand what problems are, I try to come up with indicators that indicate that there could be some sort of problem. So either on a, let's talk on a property level, because you have a lot of experience there. What kind of indicators do you use or have you used at Elmington to indicate that there is a problematic property?
Yeah, so I love this question because at the end of the day, over the past 10 years, I've really fallen in love with property management. It's hard. It's a really hard industry. It's very decentralized. The expectations that we put on our on-site teams to really understand so many different verticals of experience and knowledge from HR to facilities to collections to sales. It's tough. And I've really fallen in love with it. So when we sat down and tried to figure out what would set us apart, what would really help us become a better, more efficient, more loved and successful property management company, we identified our top 10 boxes of metrics that we wanted to see every single day when we looked at an asset to help us identify whether or not it was successful, just the overall health of the asset, and then how we could proactively engage the team to continue to increase the success of the asset. And we are looking at things, the obvious things like the current occupancy and exposure and the make-ready status. And we're also looking at things that tell you a lot about what's going to happen in the next 6 months. Things like the number of late payments that your on-site or that your residents are making cumulatively. the number of open work orders and the average days those work orders are open, and looking at those relative to the other communities in the area, understanding if there are staffing issues and how long positions have been open on a specific property. We're looking at all sorts of indicators to understand the health of the asset. But for us, it's about taking those 10 indicators and then putting them each into their own little snapshot so that you can very quickly see them and ascertain which one of those indicators you need to start to problem solve for.
Very cool. Just before we wrap up, so something that I learned, I don't know if I'm what I'm allowed to share or not allowed to share, but there's a company that invested in your tech company that's on the finance side. And when I heard this, I was like, why would they be investing? You know, is that just, but then when I heard and understood that you're going to be offering something from your platform where you can help companies decide a property, determine if it's a good time to refi or a better time to sell. And, you know, going back to that Peloton analogy, like there's no other property management software that is going to be giving advice or, you know, or is tracking that, hey, this is a good time to refi or, hey, this is a good time to sell your property. So one, you know, I love the idea of doing something that's very different. Two, there's a tremendous amount of value. Was I correct on all those things? And is there any other unique thing that you guys are going to be exploring?
Yeah. So that is a huge part of our relationship with Walker & Dunlop, who invested in us about 10 months ago. They are incredibly forward-thinking about technology and real estate, and they have a few internal tools that allow them to analyze the health of an asset and opportunity for refi or dispo. And there is absolutely a desire and a concerted effort around surfacing that information in Fortress for owners. And it goes back to us wanting Fortress to really be a one-stop shop for everyone who is invested in the operational success of the asset, from owners to asset managers, to the property management leadership, to your leasing consultant, community manager, regional. Everyone who's invested in the success of the asset should be seeing this, these metrics, and have access to this data. And then in terms of other really interesting new features in Fortress, our database was structured in a way that allows us to create centralization and specialization of workflows in a way that I think is going to be transformative to the property management industry, specifically for the team. Today, I mentioned earlier the fact that we ask the on-site teams to be so capable in all of these different buckets. And that's hard. It's really hard to fragment your attention and constantly shift from collections to work orders to leasing to renewals. Those are very different skill sets. And if we could centralize those workflows in a way that allows team members to pick which of those buckets they like the best, which ones they're best at, and how they want to really spend their time and focus and specialize in those areas, then we could see increased productivity, a reduction in labor shortages, and you could even start to pay your team members more, which just leads to a higher quality of life and higher job satisfaction. So that's definitely something that is forefront on the Fortress roadmap.
Okay, so the way we wrap up, so you have a lot of exciting stuff going on. That's exciting. The way we do wrap up is a few curious questions. So one, what is a bucket list item for the CEO of Fortress PropTech?
This is very, very personal. But I would love to become scuba diving certified with my son in the next 10 to 15 years. So that's a goal of ours.
Okay. Is it his goal also or just yours?
Yeah, his as well.
Okay. So a collective.
Yeah.
What is a hobby of yours?
Oh, so love this question. Thank you. For one of my favorite activities when I have time and space, and something that I really do try to do for at least 15 minutes every single day, is meditation. Creating that space in my mind personally has really been hugely transformative to my life, and I recommend it to anyone who's ever considered doing it. Just try it.
Do you have an app or something that guides you to do it?
I do. I use the Headspace app. Andy is my favorite guide, and he teaches some of my favorite practices of meditation. They're really incredible.
Okay. And what is a purchase you've made in the last 12 months that you would recommend for others?
Okay, I have two. first, if you're looking to create any sort of like structure in your life and really try to build better habits, then I highly recommend a habit tracker. There's actually a member of my team. She's a product owner based in Honduras. Her name is Lihia, and she shares her experience on LinkedIn about using a habit tracker. It's really incredible. And she convinced me to buy one a few months ago. It's been incredible for me. And then the other is, I don't know if you've seen people using these like remarkable notebooks. But if you are a handwritten note taker, then I highly recommend investing in and trying to use the Remarkable Notebook.
That's what it's called, Remarkable Notebook?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to check this out. Habit Tracker and Remarkable Notebook. Yep. Thank you so much for joining and sharing with us.
Thank you, Mashi. It was great.